Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Are you tired of dents and scratches ruining the look of your car? Look no further than Porter's Body Shop in Brookhaven. Call us at 601-833-1861 or visit us online at portersbodyshopms.com.
You're listening to the Rebel Report Podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
Football is back. Welcome in, everybody, on this Wednesday edition, the unusual Wednesday edition of the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Appreciate you being here. Yeah, we usually don't do Wednesdays until basketball season. Even then, it's kind of rare. So glad that you're here. Thank you for being a part, even though we are not at our usual day or usual time. But I felt it important to talk today instead of last night. Number one, we had soccer practice, would have been a little bit late. And number two, we had training camp begin today. And there's actually a lot to discuss. I mean, I don't even know if we'll have time to get to it all, but we will try. The lead training camp begins. They have hit the field. Offensive line issues, personnel, where was everybody? The wide receiver room has gotten some help. The quotes from Kiffin from Media Days have persisted into this week. There is some health, good health updates as well. So we'll get to all of that on this edition of the Rebel Report. Again, I'm Michael Borky. Please subscribe if you have not already to the podcast. Wherever you get them, just search Rebel Report and subscribe. And leave a rating and a review if you like what you hear anyway. Also, if you are watching on YouTube, again, well, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the podcast. If you're listening to the podcast, don't forget to subscribe on YouTube. Also follow me on Twitter, at Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y. Both of them, you can find me there. So let's get to it. Let's start with what I think is the most important thing that we learned today. And the health of Juice Wells and Princely Umanmielen looks like they are not only on track, but maybe even ahead of schedule. That, to me, I think, is the news of the day, even more so than that of Deion Smith, and we'll get to that in a little bit. I think that's the most noteworthy thing that we saw today. There were questions, and I don't know if they're valid or not. You don't really get definitive injury information out of Lane Kiffin's version of Ole Miss anyway. And on top of that, it was in the offseason. And there was a lot of speculation that the two of them could possibly not be available when the season began. And Juice Wells not only looks like he is on track, he was a full non-restricted participant in practice today. And Jackson Dart, after practice, had a lot of really glowing things to say about him. I think a lot of people in the college football world, and even in Ole Miss fan lore, is that a thing? I don't know. But anyway, I think a lot of you guys have forgotten, quite frankly, just how special Juice Wells can be and is when healthy. And I think it's like an out-of-sight, out-of-mind thing. He didn't really play last year because of the injury. And so you didn't get to – it's not fresh on your mind that, you know, Ole Miss pulls in this transfer that was super elite last year. You have to go back 2 years to where you can really see that this dude is possibly really, really special. And so seeing that he is already participating in practice fully is – I mean, that's awesome to see. Pairing him with the already – just highly productive Jordan Watkins and the special Trey Harris, that trio of wide receivers and what they have proven already at the SEC level, that is a trio of wide receivers that all but like one or two schools in the country would trade theirs for, I think. So him being a full participant already is great, great news. I mean, you saw the video last week. I don't think there was any doubt that he'd be available like for when Kentucky came to town. But I do think there's great value, even in the Furman game, just getting reps, being in the offense, going through game week without restriction. And knock on wood, looks like that is already happening for him. And the same thing with Princely. Now, he was in the black non-contact jersey. A couple other guys were as well. I guess Watkins was as well. Not worried about him being the veteran in the system. Didn't look, apparently, like there was anything truly bothering him. Same thing with J.J. Pegues. Like, those two guys, you don't have to worry about if they didn't practice today. No big deal. Like, it's, and they were out there running around. So you just kind of dismiss something like that, considering, you know, what they've already done for Ole Miss and for years now. That's fine. Princely's notable because he had off-season shoulder work done. And there was a, whether or not it was valid or not, there was scuttlebutt that he was possibly not going to be available for week one. Maybe they don't play him because it's Furman and he's still in the non-contact jersey or whatever. But seeing him after getting that off-season shoulder work, not only participating, but like hitting the sleds and very clearly using that shoulder, it didn't look like there was anything bothering him. That is huge because, again, it's not just about, you know, well, when Kentucky, they don't need him until Kentucky. No, they don't, or at least they shouldn't anyway. If they can't beat Wake Forest without Princely and Juice, then nothing that we've talked about all offseason matters at all and applies at all to this team. But the fact that he's already there getting reps, being with the team, doing those kind of things is huge because, I mean, you guys know this. If you don't go through, if you see a guy that doesn't go through training camp, that just is there and he's like on the sidelines and then he gets to work in game week, it takes a little while to get up into football shape, and he's already there doing that. That's a big deal as well. So those two guys I was really curious about as they entered into training camp, and knowing that they're already in the spots that they're in is a very, very good sign for Ole Miss. We'll get to some of the other things as well as your comments after I tell you the podcast is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. If you have been personally injured or you may have a small business or contract dispute, check out DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm. Saltillo, Mississippi is where he's located. And he will not only, he won't help you. He won't just help you is what I should say. He won't help you. He's terrible. Sorry, DJ. Worst read of all time. He won't just help you. He will build a relationship with you because you're not just another number to him. You're a person. You're a fellow Mississippian because the Gregory Law Firm is the best in the business in this great state. Again, personal injury, small business, contract disputes. DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm, 662-397-9799, 662-397-9799. Just search Gregory Law Firm on Google as well. His website will pop right up for you. The second thing, Lane Kiffin talks about the look of his team, and he stressed that again today. It does not matter what you look like. It matters how you play. It doesn't mean that they are necessarily a good team, but it is noteworthy in that he said, and I'll give you the direct quote just to, you know, for the spirit of accuracy or whatever. Quote, "We do, for the first time since I've been here, look like a real team. Doesn't mean we'll be any good, but it means we actually have length and size like good teams do." He directly compared the way his team looked to that of an Alabama and a Georgia. And I don't think he's just talking about the lines of scrimmage, although that is a massive and very important part of that puzzle. Everybody references that Georgia game from last year, but it wasn't just Georgia. It was Texas A&M. It was even Tulane that they were able to, it was Mississippi State. They were able to scheme their way out of some things. And you know, the state game's not exactly fair considering the injuries that they had on the offensive line anyway. But they were able to scheme themselves out of some talent deficiencies against the more talented teams that they had on their schedule. And Lane Kiffin is not – he is very quick to criticize and slow to praise. And that's not a good or a bad thing. I think that's just how he is. He does not just throw compliments out there. You have other coaches that are, "Hey, coach, tell me about this guy. Oh, man, no, he's awesome. He's really, really good, and he's been working hard, and we love what we have from him." And the coach will say that about literally every single player. That's not Lane Kiffin. He will not he doesn't do that unless there's a reason. He's also very quick to not necessarily criticize, but criticize. I mean, you've seen in the past where a player may be not available when he probably should be, not maybe working as hard to get back on the field, those kind of things. He does not sugarcoat stuff like that very often. And so when you see him and hear him say things like that about his team, you can actually believe that it is true. It's not just a coach hyping up his team like other coaches do. Lane's a lot more transparent. And to hear him so openly talk about how much he likes the way his team looks runs counter to, you know, typical Lane Kiffin. And, I mean, you don't have to read between the lines. It's very simple. He really likes that team. He likes the talent. He likes the roster that they have assembled. He believes in it very, very clearly. But I think it extends beyond more than just the lines of scrimmage. I think that the physicality that they've added in other positions stands out. That defensive back, I think, is one where physically they look better. Defensive line, offensive line, of course. But like Juice Wells, physically, he looks different. So it's really across the board on that team. And hearing Lane Kiffin, a guy that coached many Alabama teams, talking about how his current Ole Miss team looks like Alabama when they stretch, that's significant, because how many times have you ever been able to say that? It's been a long time. I don't think I was alive the last time you could truly say that roster-wide about an Ole Miss team. So that just stands out as always. It was reported that three of the transfer offensive linemen for Ole Miss did not participate in practice today. The two Washington transfers and also Diego Pounds, what was assumed to be the plug-and-play starting left tackle. For what it's worth, I have heard on Pounds exclusively that it's not something that is concerning in terms of his availability for the season start. I believe that to be true. I haven't been able to like double verify it and do the journalism thing, even though I'm not a journalist. But I have heard that, you know, in terms of availability for him, like they're not concerned that he won't health-wise be able to make it to week one. I have no idea about the other two. I mean, I wish I could tell you something different. I wish I could, you know, opine over their health or tell you why they weren't there today. I frankly, I have no idea why they weren't there, and Lane didn't offer really much of anything there either. Next availability, I assume he's going to be asked about it in more detail. But what's so fascinating about that position is, even though those three guys not being there to start camp is not something that you should stress yourself out about, but it should raise an eyebrow. Like, wait a minute, why aren't they there? What's going on? That's a fair question to ask, and I wish I could give you an answer. I cannot. But what's so fascinating about the offensive line that they ran out there in the team period that the media could see, number one, Jerquan Scott was playing center, which I think is a good development for Ole Miss. And two, of the five offensive linemen that were starters today, four of them are returning starters from last year's team. Isn't that weird? So Ole Miss had three offensive linemen out today, and four of the guys that played are returning starters. That goes to show you the kind of depth that they have on the offensive line, that even if they sustain a trio of injuries, look at the offensive line that they can put out there. You know, I've talked openly about how it is a lower ceiling group, that if they didn't add portal guys, that the ceiling of that group is low. But you know what the floor is, and that floor is high. It's an experienced group that they did win double-digit games with last year. So the fact that that is what the offensive line looks like with three guys that they expected, or at least I think they expected, to come in and start, not available at the start of camp for whatever that reason is, the fact that that is the case and they still look the way they do on the offensive line in terms of experience is very, I would say, unique. In terms of snaps played, not years in a system, but true snaps played and starts, is that's unique in college football for sure. There's a lot of other stuff as well, of course, but I will end with the one that you guys have talked about a few times, and it is Deion Smith, according to him, he is cleared and eligible to play for Ole Miss this year. Obviously, did not practice today. Kiffin's answer when he was asked about him was basically like, you know, I don't know. But according to the player is eligible, and he will be on the practice field for Ole Miss as early as the end of the week. That is according to the player. So what does that mean? You guys know my stance on this already. And in general, my approach to things is I really find comfort in what is known. I feel that way about like when you're previewing teams and talking about games and stuff like that. What I really like about this Ole Miss team is how much I know about it. What I really don't like about the LSU team is how much people are projecting. Well, obviously Nuss is going to be just fine. Well, how do you know that? You have no reason to think that other than personal bias. There's no reason to think that. He's played Wisconsin, a bad Wisconsin team. That's going to lead you to a playoff berth. And anyway, we don't need to talk about LSU tonight. I am not going to do the this is a game changer for Ole Miss thing. And maybe it is. There's a chance that it is. It certainly might be a game changer. But I don't know that because Deion Smith has played very limited action at this level of football, and the best was Central Michigan. Now, he was a freshman and flashed a lot because everybody that has seen him raves and raves and raves about the talent, but I can't bring myself to call this person that has never played impactful, meaningful SEC snaps a game changer on a team that already has Trey Harris, Jordan Watkins, and Juice Wells. It's not necessarily about Deion. It's more about what they already have. I can't call him a game changer when they have those three guys that are already game changers on their team that are established, that have been there, that have already been practicing, that have done it at Ole Miss or done it in the SEC at an extremely high level. Whatever Deion Smith can give Ole Miss is great. I mean, it's a great addition. It's like if you've ever been to a restaurant, like a really nice restaurant, sometimes they will bring you a side that you don't ask for. Like that happened to me, oh gosh, a while ago now. It was a whole long time ago. But went to a steakhouse, and they brought us very small amounts of what they claimed was Wagyu. And I didn't like it myself. But if I would have liked it, it would have been a great addition to the meal. But I didn't like it, but it didn't take anything away from it because I didn't pay for it. That's kind of how I view this Deion Smith thing. If he comes in and helps and is catching a bunch of passes and takes one of those three guys, snaps from them and is a big-time impact player, then great. Like that enhances Ole Miss, obviously, in a lot of different ways. But he's not necessary for this team to reach their goals because they already have what everybody's claiming that he is, game changers at wide receiver. Especially, you know, joining late, having to get acclimated to the team and learn the playbook and do all those things. And I'm sure that he's already gotten a lot of that, you would think anyway, especially with who he trains with. But I'm not going to do the game changer, difference maker, all that stuff. He could be, but I know already what Trey Harris is. I know already what Jordan Watkins is, and I know already what Juice Wells is. And I know that they are game changers, that they are impact players, that they are productive, that they know the offense, or at least two of them truly know the offense, but the other one's been with the team for a while. Whatever Deion Smith gives them is great, but it's also great for Ole Miss that they don't need him to be much of anything in order to reach their goals. Whatever he adds is just a bonus. They're already really good at wide receiver. Whatever he adds, like I said, is just a bonus. So there we go. The podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online, absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your office technology needs. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop, so all you need is an internet connection. You can do whatever it is that you want to do with your money, because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. Pat just says, Dion with exclamation points. Yeah, yeah, a lot of people are excited about that. Hotty Toddy in fail state. Thank you, Eugene. Glad to see you. And he updates on Dion Smith with him missing so much. How long will it take him to be game ready? See, that's the thing. I don't know. What kind of shape is he in? If he's been training with who he's been training with a lot, then you would hope that he's in really good shape and ready to play. I don't know. I do know that Kiffin does not play players that do not know every single one of their assignments. Could he be used in the interim as a specialist of some kind? Could they use him, you know, you come in and be a deep, like a jump ball threat, something like that? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of questions still to be answered with him, because he has not been on the team. Does he know the offense? Can he execute it without having to think about it? And that's not, I'm not talking about or questioning intellect. That is not what I'm doing. It's just, he's just now able to practice with the team. So how long will that take to get up to speed? I don't know those answers. I really don't. Secured your away game tickets for the LSU game. Sure to be a wild night to remember. You hope so. You hope so. Most notable thing, football is back. Yes, football's back today. Football's back tomorrow. Hall of Fame game. We will be live tomorrow, regular time. I know the Hall of Fame game will be on, but we'll go live at 8. Patrick Willis is getting inducted into the Hall of Fame this weekend. That's so cool. He will definitely be on the broadcast at some point. So we'll just do that at the same time. And yeah, I mean, I'm excited to watch the Hall of Fame ceremonies. I don't watch those much, but because Patrick Willis is getting in, deservedly so. I know he had a short career, but he was the best in the NFL for the entire duration of that short career. He's a Hall of Famer. And on top of that, he's got an exceptional story where he came from into what he became. So he's fantastic. I have had the pleasure of speaking with him one time. He will not have any idea who I am, but I did get the chance to talk to him once. And man, he's awesome. He's so impressive in every possible way. He also looks like he could still give you like a good 50 snaps in the NFL too. But I'm excited to see all that this weekend. He is true class, man. He's just a class act. And I mean that non-sarcastically. I know people use that phrase sarcastically. I do not. He is awesome. Saints report, we suck on the offensive line. Either that or Carl Granderson and Chase Young, who, by the way, fully healthy. Let's go already. I did not expect that he would be running full team drills after neck surgery. That's exciting. Love to see that. And also Cam Jordan might be doing some interior stuff on passing downs. It's interesting. Better get your bets in on Dart for Heisman. Hey, he's got weapons. He has got weapons. Like the shirt? I love this shirt. It's a great shirt. So comfortable. PTG Outdoors. That's not where I got it from, but that is where I got it, if that makes sense. Anyway. PTGOutdoors.com, right? I should know that. ProTeamGuides.com. ProTeamGuides.com. Love it. South Carolina still butthurt over Juice Wells leaving. Looks like some good old-fashioned hate when they meet in Columbia. Yeah, if South Carolina doesn't have two losses by then. I've seen a lot of that. I've seen a whole lot of that. And, you know, that's what happens. That's what fan bases do when players leave them to go to better programs with better offenses that are going to win more football games. It upsets fans. I understand that. I have a feeling I know how that game is going to go, though, because you guys know just like I do that Lane Kiffin can be a bit of a troll. And, I mean, would you be surprised at all if there is a lot of specifically designed things for Juice Wells, considering what has been said about him and to him by those people? since he transferred out to the aforementioned better program that's going to win more games and a better offense with a better quarterback. Lane's going to have something for them, I think. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of hate. It is, it's pretty wild, frankly. There's more hate from South Carolina fans about Juice than I've seen Ole Miss fans have for Quinshon. It's that bad. A little off topic, what do I think about the Pels' new additions? I love Jontay Murray. Absolutely love it. Love it, love it, love it. What are we going to do at center? I mean, they have to make a move. They cannot enter the season. Cannot do it with what they currently have at center. They need to make another move. Centarian Perkins not being able to gain weight in an SEC weight program. Read article this evening saying he's at 214 pounds. What do I think about that? Some people just have a hard time doing it. I mean, he talked about it today where he's eating as much as he possibly can. He's eating everything. He's trying to gain some weight. Physically, he looks good. Just that I assume they want him to put on more. But I don't think it's an SNC thing. I think the strength and conditioning program kind of proved itself last year when they played their best ball in the fourth quarter basically every game. And so I think that the team and the program, it was clearly effective considering the aforementioned, but some people are just blessed, and he's blessed with being able to eat whatever he wants and not gaining an ounce. To quote Big Daddy, I drink a milkshake and my ass jiggles for a week. he's lucky and also unlucky when it comes to football in that way, but they're trying. They're absolutely trying. How much eligibility does Deion Smith have? I frankly don't know. Let me see. There was a BYU site that had him listed as somebody that could possibly go there. How funny is that? But honestly, I don't know. I mean, he had the 1 year at LSU where he did not play in five games, right? So that year wouldn't even count. So I would assume 2 years. Three to play two. I don't know. I'm guessing. Frankly, I don't know. I should know that probably, but I do not know. For Wide, Harris, Watkins, Wells, and Smith, Priest, Korn, close to the line, and Bentley or Parrish out of the pistol. Who's going to stop that? The referees. You've got one too many players. You got to take one of the receivers off the field in that scenario. The situation with the reality of the unknown is, I understand. No, I absolutely get it. Look, I get it. And I'm not saying that he's not going to come in and be great. I don't know. That's all I'm saying is I don't know, and I'm not going to do the game changer thing until I see it first. You know, we're not talking about we're not talking about our faith in the Lord here. We're talking about a wide receiver. I've got to see it before I believe it. And that's not a knock. It's just I want to see it before I start talking about game changer when I've already seen it with the other guys. That's all I'm getting at. But I understand why people are excited, because everybody that's ever seen him play talks about how incredible his talent level is. So I'm being the cold water guy, I guess, and I'm going to be proven wrong probably. So, and I don't mind being wrong. Is recruiting going to finish in the top 20? Probably. What do I think? Also, do I think Josh Pate is right about Ole Miss as a window program? I do not. I don't at all. We've talked about that a good bit on here during the offseason. Long story short, to kind of summarize my position on it, is Ole Miss has always had the ability to be what they are right now. And they have shown flashes of that ability. Hugh Freeze showed it. Houston Nutt went to Access Bowls. Obviously, the Cutcliffe years and what those teams could have been. Ole Miss's issues, in my opinion, are more about Ole Miss, Now, can they ever be Georgia? No. LSU has more inherent resources than they do. Ohio State does, etc. But Ole Miss, the only thing stopping Ole Miss from being a more competitive on a national scale program was itself. They got in their own way too much. And people used to attribute that to, well, that's just Ole Miss. I don't believe that. I've seen the infrastructure in place there. I know what they are capable of, and I know why they failed. And they didn't fail because of inherent stuff. They failed because of incompetence or whatever the case may be. Now they have athletic department leadership, university leadership, and fan base that sees what they can be, and they're all pulling the rope in the same direction. I don't think it's a window program. I think that's a lazy take stuck in 2010, not in the reality of today's college football. Where are all these students going to sit? 13,000 is crazy. Yeah, it is. It's awesome. They're going to approach it in a just they'll figure it out kind of way, it seems, because why not, for one? And two, they have, as Keith Carter told us, they now have blocked the student section. So it used to be like a circular concourse where you could walk through the student section if you wanted to. Or whatever it is. They have blocked that completely. And so you won't be able to get into the student section unless you have a student ticket. And that will help reduce help create some available space, because there are a lot of people that get regular tickets and go sit with their friends in the student section or whatever. You know, that'll clear up some space, but yeah, they're just going to pack them in. 13,000 is what Keith told us today. 13,000 student tickets. Jerry, send me a DM or message about that, because off the top of my head, I'm not quite familiar with what you're talking about there. Man, Ole Miss dodged a bullet on Rah-Rah Thomas. No kidding. No kidding. High metabolism and very athletic. Perkins will be fine at 215. I do think if they're going to play him on the edge, that he needs to gain some more weight. But like they're not using him, at least I don't think they will. And what the hell do I know? But they're not going to use him in the exact same way that they use Jared Ivey or Princely, right? Listing him at D end is not exactly telling the whole story on how I think that they're going to use him. He'll be on the edge. He'll get after the quarterback, but I think he's going to have more responsibilities than just when ball gets snapped, go get quarterback. I think that he's going to drop into coverage a good bit, and they'll move him around some. I don't think they're going to use him the same as the aforementioned other two. So him not being 250 is okay, because he's not going to play a true defensive end, I don't think, anyway. I expect more creativity from Pete than that, because he's shown you in the past that he's got more creativity than that. Speaking of Thomas, UGA has problems all over the program with off-the-field trouble. And what's the most shocking is the sheer volume of vehicle incidents after tragedy. Like, college kids are dumb sometimes. College athletes are dumb. They do dumb things. They drink and drive. That happens at every program. Every program in college football has players that do dumb things and get arrested sometimes. It happens. But 24 vehicle related arrests and incidents after tragedy is truly mind-blowing. It's truly mind-blowing. And look, again, I mean, you can't ask a coach to be responsible for 100 18 to 22 year olds. Like, they are adults, they're getting paid, they make their own decisions, but man, what is going on there to where that continues to happen at that volume after what happened? Ole Miss will never be a blue blood, but I could see them at Florida, Auburn, Penn State, Clemson kind of level. Shoot, man. Well, Ole Miss is way ahead of Auburn at the moment, way ahead of Florida at the moment. Those programs are on different levels, and I know what Auburn's doing in high school recruiting. I get it. There's more to a program than high school recruiting in the portal era. But results, you know, the thing that matters, the football field, like the games and the score when the games are over, Ole Miss ahead of both of those right now. Jerry says 12-0. I don't think they're going 12-0, but if they do, I mean, look, I've got this up here. This was my dad's, but I mean, you would get something like this. And now Sports Illustrated's gone to crap, but this is an undefeated Ohio State national championship hardback Sports Illustrated. Like, I bet I could sell this thing for a lot of money, honestly. Where, I mean, they've got, here's when they stormed the field after they beat Michigan. I mean, they've got like game by game, like pictures and recaps and stuff. And this hardback, I mean, this thing's awesome. It's a really cool hardback book. Again, Sports Illustrated's kind of jumped the shark a little bit, but that's the kind of stuff that you guys will all have in your office. That right there. Rebs playing a rough league. It'll never be easy. All others are sailing together. Do you like the possibilities of quite a run? Who's the next big recruit? It's that running back, isn't it? That's very helpful. I'm very helpful. You're welcome for all the quality information I just gave you there. But I do think it's that running back, that four-star running back. Which happens first? Ole Miss in Omaha, Ole Miss in the Sweet 16, Ole Miss in the semis of the college football playoff. That's a good question. Ole Miss in the Sweet 16. It's forget Omaha. Omaha's out. It's either Sweet 16 or semis in the college football playoff. So essentially, the question is, do I think Ole Miss will make the Final Four in football this year? Because I do expect there to be a step back for a year in 25, just because of the volume of things they lose, including quarterback. And I do think Chris Beard will have Ole Miss in the Sweet 16 in short order. If it's not this year, it'll be soon. I think I'm going basketball, but not because I don't believe in this team, this football team's ability to make it there. Bentley said that he's at 205. Now he looks good. He looks good, and he is good. If Ole Miss goes 12-0, they're winning the national championship. Yeah, look, I agree with that. I do think, like, if you came down and told me that Ole Miss finishes the season 12-0, and that's all you'll tell me, is you won't tell me the playoff results. You say they went undefeated. I would say then they at least went to the national championship, that they made an appearance, if not won the thing. If they can go to Baton Rouge and beat LSU, and if they can beat Georgia at home and not slip up in the rest, that's a championship team. Dylan Alford, next recommitment. I'll take your word for it. I will absolutely take your word for it. So anyway, we'll be back tomorrow, 8 o'clock tomorrow, same time, same place. We'll talk more training camp. We'll do all of that good stuff together. So I appreciate you guys. Glad that you're here, as you always are. Thank you for being a part. And I will see you again tomorrow. We'll do this again at 8 o'clock. So appreciate you guys, and I'll see you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.